Now back to the City Current Radio Show, hosted by Jeremy Park.
Welcome back to the City Current Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Park. We're honored to be joined by our next guest, Allison Holzer. She is the co-CEO and the Chief Innovation Officer for InspireCorps. How are you doing, Allison?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here.
So Inspire is in your name, so we get to talk a lot about inspiration. You have all sorts of media and opportunities to be inspired, but let's start with a little bit of just your story with InspireCorps. Give us a little bit of a history lesson in terms of founding the organization.
Yeah, so I came together with my other co-CEOs, Jen Grace Barron and Sandy Spataro, around 2012. And when we came together, we came from really different industries and backgrounds. So we had corporate, academia, I was coming out of education and coaching. And what we came together with, though, was a common vision around how do we make people's lives better at work? Especially because we spend on average about 90,000 hours at work in a lifetime. Like, that's a lot of time, right? And so, and workplaces can be wonderful places where people can grow, you know, and enjoy or not. So we came together with this common passion and we were trying to figure out, you know, what makes the difference between, you know, average day and an extraordinary day, an average team or organization and an extraordinary team and organization. And this word inspiration kept coming up again and again and again. And we thought, okay, well, that seems to be important, but why? And what about it? Why is it so important? And so, you know, we started looking out there to see what was, you know, what was in the literature and what was in, you know, what we knew, and turns out not that much. So we embarked on our own research, looking at inspiration within business and organizations to really understand how it works and why it's such an important driver of extraordinary performance and results.
And all sorts of studies, and you have them on your website, but you go into detail on an inspired workforce is way more productive. And so obviously there's financial benefits for a company, there's productivity benefits, motivational benefits. Inspired workers are obviously happier, they are encouraging others. And so there is a ripple effect that creates more energy and productivity as well. So there's a lot that goes into this inspiration, but dive into some of that. When you talk about kind of the workplace inspiration, where do you like to start your focus areas when you're working with like a new company or a client, like the questions you like to ask, where do you like to start this adventure?
Yeah, well, I'll say one place that people are starting a lot right now is around this, one of our outcomes and results of inspiration, which is around agility. You know, really being able to be agile and flexible and resilient. It's so important right now, given that we are facing so many unknowns, and the ability to be able to be productive and to be innovative and be all these things that we need to be while also facing uncertainty, it's hard. And so, you know, being inspired, which, you know, allows people to do that more effectively, it's an important practice that they need to incorporate into, you know, into their work. So that's one thing that we're seeing a lot now. But, you know, we often start, we have a inspiration survey that's really an assessment that will help either individuals, because it can be at individual level, but it can also be at the team and organizational culture level. So we typically start there and have folks really understand, you know, where they are more inspired, less inspired, where they need to grow in order to achieve this what we call inspired performance, which is really, you know, the result and our model.
And that's what I was going to ask next is how do you measure inspiration? Because I think that it can be kind of a, obviously it's an inspiring term, but it can be very vague in terms of how you try to measure that. So what are the things, like when you're doing the study and the research, what are the things that you're looking to measure?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I do think people often think of inspiration as soft, you know, as this esoteric, you know, this abstract kind of thing. And, you know, it's because we think about it in terms of the emotional experience of inspiration, which can feel, you know, very moving, and it can kind of come and go. You don't know when it's going to happen. But we think about inspiration as beyond just the emotion experience of it, and really think about it in terms of a mindset, a way of thinking about, you know, solving challenges. challenges and problems, et cetera. And we define inspiration very specifically as being the intersection of these two things. So one, when you're inspired, you have a greater sense of possibility. So your mind is actually able to see new ideas and new ways forward, which, boy, do we need that right now. And of course, everyone needs that when they're, you know, in work and in business. You need to be able to see new opportunities. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to just see opportunities and have great ideas. You also want to be able to pursue them, right? So inspiration is the combination of possibilities with this other piece that we call invincibility. And it's a strong term, but it's because it kind of feels like that. It's like this heightened confidence and courage to take action, even though something might be really big or new or scary. And when you're truly inspired and you have an inspiration-based mindset, you're not afraid to take action in those areas that matter most to you. You see the possibilities and you go for it. And it's what we really need to solve some of our greatest challenges that we face in today's society.
Absolutely. I'm thinking, we recently had a speaker on our end, Alden Mills, who is a three-time Navy SEAL platoon commander, and he was a CEO, inventor, all these things. But one of his statements was, caring leads to daring. And once you care about your team and they feel cared for, then they are more apt to be more daring, innovative, that invincibility like you're talking about. I think it's so true. But then you dive into, okay, well, how do you make them invincible? How do you show that they're cared? It's all the little things that lead to then those opportunities. So talk about, or give me some examples, maybe when you talk about taking the study, taking those definitions, obviously, taking the baseline, and then building the strategy with the companies to actually start putting into place to lead them down this path of having a more inspired workforce.
Yeah. So it's a great question. It gets to the how. What does this look like in action? And I will tell you that, you know, the clients that we work with, and, you know, we're sort of industry agnostic, you know, because we work with people. And, you know, so across different industries, it really looks like this, that there's a variety of different challenges that they're facing. And for some, to your point, yes, it is about the foundations of trust and having that strong foundation in order to feel inspiration. You have to have that strong foundation of trust. For others, it's something different. It's, you know, lack of kind of possibility or being able to, you know, see into the future due to perhaps burnout, which is happening a lot right now. So what it looks like in action can be quite different across different groups that we work with and clients. But in our research and in our book, what we've discovered was these three distinct pathways to inspiration. And within those, there are actually 18, and I know it's a lot, but 18 different, we call them strategies, or in the book, we call them engines of inspiration, but they're actually things that you can do or think about that will make inspiration more likely to occur. And so what we will do is actually work with teams and, you know, and leaders to look at ways to build these engines of inspiration into their organizational practices and their systems. So it can look like, you know, something as practical as revamping a performance management system to infuse it with inspiration via, you know, activating the employee's sense of purpose, having them talk about their strengths and how they want to activate their strengths in their role, you know, things like that that are very kind of practical in nature. But it can also look like, you know, strategy, looking at business strategy and how are you actually infusing the well-being and inspiration of your people into your business strategy. It's not like a separate, you know, we have business strategy and then we have people, but it's no. Actually, people are your business strategy because they're getting, you know, the work done, and we have to be paying attention to them and infusing, you know, the strategy with that and taking it into account. So that's kind of different ways that we think about it. It looks quite different across groups.
Well, the fact, like you said, that you have the 18 different, you know, kind of elements and ways. And so you built the structure and the processes, but it's also obviously fully customizable for everybody, depending on where they are in their journey and what they need. So that's the key. You mentioned the book, you have a lot of media. So talk about the book and how all that plays into this.
Yeah, so the book came out this past fall, and it's called Dare to Inspire, Sustain the Fire of Inspiration in Work and Life. And essentially what we've done is we've brought together the findings from our research and then how to apply it. So the way that I often describe the book is, you know, if you're looking as an individual to crack your own code of inspiration, so to speak. In other words, you want to both understand what inspiration means to you and how you can intentionally practice it. That's something we talk about a lot in the book. How do you intentionally practice it? So most people think of inspiration as something you just have to wait for. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But in fact, if it drives better results, don't you want to produce it and, you know, bring it in more often? So if you go through the book, it has different activities and questions that allow you to kind of crack your own inspiration code. But then in the second part of the book, we talk about inspiration as it looks and as applied on teams. So, you know, Aristotle said the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. In the same way, teams have their own level of inspiration as a dynamic, as a group that's separate from the individuals within it. So how do you, as a leader of a team, pay attention to the inspiration level of your team so that you can note, when is it dipping? What do we need as a team to infuse ourselves with engines of inspiration to lift us up when we need it? So we talk about inspiration on teams and then also within organizational culture. And I think what, you know, listeners may like about it is that we infuse it with lots of stories. So we spoke to so many different people and, you know, it really personalizes it. You know, you can hear how inspiration is quite diverse. And in fact, we often talk about it as a fingerprint, that what inspires each one of us individually is so unique that it's like a fingerprint.
Share, because as you mentioned, we're in uncharted territory, unprecedented times, obviously with everything that's going on with the pandemic. But give me maybe one tip, either from the book or just in general, when you talk about individual inspiration, and like you said, we all need more of it now. But what's something that we can do to be more intentional with our efforts to drive that inspiration and perhaps even just find the inspiration?
Yeah. So it's a great question and a tough one because per my point earlier, what inspires each of us is as unique as a fingerprint. So I can mention several things that you'll say, well, that doesn't sound very inspiring, right? But I'm happy to speak to the process of it that I think people could take away and use, which is this idea of intentional practice. So one of the things I think is hard for people now is, you know, there's so much that they can't control. And you look at, you know, your week ahead or you look at what's happening and you don't know what's going to be on the news. You don't know what's going to happen next. So one of the things that I do as an intentional inspiration practice is I look each week ahead and I actually look for these windows of time that I'm going to intentionally infuse some bit of inspiration into my day. So I think about it as like an energy management practice kind of thing. Now, for me personally, being physically active and moving is an important part. It's one of our 18 engines of inspiration. And that's whether it's, you know, standing up as I am now, because I, you know, having a standing desk, but also, you know, I've started taking walking meetings at times when I can to just get outside and to get moving. That's really important from an energy kind of standpoint. But then I also have these pockets, and one of my favorite engines of inspiration from the book, we discovered by talking to this neuroscientist from Dartmouth, who talked about the power of unstructured time for our brains. And, you know, our brains are getting bombarded with so much information, and in work, you know, you're getting so many emails and so many expectations around what to get done and flipping things fast. And our brains weren't totally designed to function like that all the time. And so unstructured time is essentially like giving your brain a sabbatical. And it's carving out time where you intentionally let your mind wander. And it could be on a walk, but it could also be, you know, many people say some of their most inspired ideas come, you know, in the shower, they're taking a drive, they're doing, you know, doing something where they're not intentionally trying to solve a problem, but it's actually quite effective because your brain is like working in the background. So, you know, that's something I think people take for granted. They like to fill their time. And so I actually am always looking for, where can I unfill my time? Where can I kind of create a chunk of time where it's more open, that I can just kind of let my brain rest and be free a little bit? And often during those times, some really, you know, inspired ideas come forward without even, you know, intentionally trying to solve that, you know, a particular problem.
Yeah, that's great advice. How can we help? So talk about community involvement, engagement. What are the ways that we can help?
Great question. So we have our community online, and the place where you can find us is, a few different places. You can definitely find us on our website, which is www.inspirecore.com. And one of the things you can find on our website that may be fun for listeners is you can take a shortened version of the survey I talked about earlier that we do with clients. And so it's like a little mini survey that's about, you know, how inspired are you? And so if you go there and you check out that page, there's some more information, some different resources resources you can download. We have these card decks and things which have actually like activities you could do with your teams. And so I just encourage people to go and explore and play around there, take the quiz, see what you can find. Definitely check out our book. It's got great resources and activities in there as well. And if you're looking on, you know, for us on social media, we actually do a live stream talk where we bring in experts. So we like to bring in folks to talk about topics related to us. So you can join us on our live stream. You can find us on social media at InspireCorpCo. So CORPSCO at the end, both LinkedIn and Twitter.
Well, Allison, we greatly appreciate you and your team. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.